Thank you.
Thank you.
We good? Okay. Ms. Coleman.
Mr. Chair.
You have a report for us.
I do. I have a couple of things that I wanted to mention to you. One is to let you know that I think you all know that the Klamath TMDL is going to be coming up in front of the state board. I think the comment period closes fairly shortly, but I think it's the end of this month. They're looking at probably a hearing date in Sacramento in early September. So that will still then allow EPA to meet the approval by the end of the year, which is the end of the consent decree. Also wanted to mention we had two dairy workshops, one down here in the southern part of the region and then one up north, and those both went really well. There's more outreach to be done, and particularly in the northern area, we need to put more time into some relationship building. We've been, I think, quite successful in relationship building in the southern part of the region. Incredible help from the United Dairymen, and that continues, and they're committed to helping us also build better relationships up north with the RCDs. And also had an absolutely excellent meeting with the, I'm going to say this wrong, his name is Jim Spear. He's the area manager for NRCS. Is that right, Heidi? Thank you. And one of his resource guys, and it was a really high energy, a lot of good exchange of information of how by pushing forward on the dairies, we can, working in partnership with NRCS, NRCS can then help the landowners, and they've got a team. And what was really encouraging to hear was one of the things the state conservationists would like to see is for the northern area to invest more in dairies. So it's kind of a nice coincidence of he's being pushed by his boss to, you know, do more outreach to dairies, and we're going to be doing the same thing. So that's going to be good for the landowners and then good for improving water quality in the long run. So that was pretty exciting on the dairy front.
Is that also NRCS, though, is the funnel to also USDA grant money, correct? Yeah, that's a good catch.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Along those lines, still thinking of cows here, one of the issues, as you know, with the U.S. Forest Service waiver that you adopted in June was the grazing issue. And we're happy to say we believe the comment period has the opportunity for anyone to petition that permit has passed and no petition was filed. So that slots that waiver into place. And for the next 5 years, and Bob Clamp has laid out an extensive program for doing outreach with the individual forests. Had a good meeting with Farm Bureau and the Cattlemen's Association to talk about what it meant to grazers, as well as then he's laid out a program for meeting with the different Klamath, the different forests and the forest supervisors and their resource teams to triangulate on what the Forest Service waiver means and how it can be implemented and how we're going to work together to really make it work and shift where we have been to something better in the future, which I think is everyone's interest. Third item was end of the fiscal year, state fiscal year happened, and you know we keep a list of numbers of commitments of different things that we commit to both EPA and the state board in terms of permits and inspections, et cetera. And overall, our numbers are quite good this year, I'm happy to report. And in the next executive officer report, when all the data is entered into our computer system and then drawn out again, I'll have a report in the next executive officer's report of sort of tallying that in a more exact way, along with some of the more qualitative things that we've gotten done this year, some of our big accomplishments, and some of the things that aren't moving as fast as we'd like them to, like elk and freshwater TMDLs. Fourth thing is Willits Bypass. For those of you who haven't been following it, everyone knows they drive through Willits. We all drive through Willits, and there is the Caltrans has been pushing forward a project for the bypass to be built. It's a huge project. It's the largest fill of wetlands, about 80 acres.
Wow.
Largest fill that the District Corps in San Francisco has seen in almost two decades. And because of the need to get the money sooner rather than later due to funding issues, Caltrans has pushed really hard and faster than to get their permits. For us, it's a 401 certification, and from the Corps, then it'll be a 404 permit. And they've pushed it really faster than they had the information available in order to do the kind of documentation that's required for a project of that magnitude. So we're all under the gun to get a certification done now by August 6th, and working pretty hard towards that. And I think that's going to be something that we'll be able to accomplish. It's going to be a conditional cert with a lot of extra requirements in it. And the Corps then will have to make a decision by the end of August whether or not they're going to permit the project at all. And that's the part that makes it very controversial, as you can imagine. We're talking about a lot of jobs, a lot of investment. So just leave it at that. And then
I ask a question on that? I realize if it's got a lot of momentum, that has to be dealt with. But what is the mitigation ratio? How close is the wetlands? And what's
they're not able to mitigate within the immediate area. So what they've proposed is a rather large mitigation project in the valley to the north. And part of the issue has been that Caltrans hasn't acquired all of the land yet. They're in final negotiations, and for the last big piece, in fact, are looking at condemnation. So one of the issues is they haven't tied up the land. They put it down in an endowment to manage the acreage, and I'm just blanking on what it is, but it's over 1,000 acres. It's a huge mitigation, both because it's not just wetland mitigation, it's also upland and enhancement.
Right, so. Well, it's also off-site, which is
and
a major...
And it's also off-site, which is problematic as well. And so as we said, all of the agencies said that since there physically wasn't anything available on-site, that we can't... The operating phrase is, we said to Caltrans, come back in and dazzle us with something. If we're going to have to basically bend the rules, we're going to need to be able to justify that in a way that is going to work. And and isn't creating new wetlands. So it's a good, conceptually, it's a really good project, conceptually. It's, you know, this is one of those things that the hard part are the details, and nailing the details down from the RCD needs to agree that they're going to manage the land. They need to know what the grazing management practices are going to be that will allow for wetland creation, continuation, and enhancement, and then get a lessee on board who's willing to follow that kind of a grazing plan. So, I mean, a whole lot of details that need to be worked through yet, and those are going to have to be conditions. The last item is we've got two retirements coming up. I think you probably know about both of them. Christine Wright Shacklett is going to be retiring. She's worked in probably all of the programs at some point in time, but basically has spent much of her career in timber and most recently in cleanups. And we're going to be sorry to see her go. And also Bob Clamp has announced his retirement effective in November. So it's going to be sad, but they look happy. What more can I say? And that's it, unless you have any questions for me.
Do we have replacements for these people? Are we going to get replacements in terms of state funding, or is this just attrition cuts us at the knees?
This is part of the plan of death by 1,000 paper cuts. Mm-hmm. We will, at this point, we've for both of them, because they're both supervisors, we will have people in their place, but they were not going to be able to hire to backfill. We've not been able to backfill the division chief for cleanups. We won't be able to have a real timber non-point source chief on board either. That leaves one division chief and Louise and myself to manage. So there are holes that we're not able to fill, and that's not just us. That's happening board-wide and, of course, state agency-wide and local government as well. It's just the way it is.
I'm sure you've heard this, but just for the basic reason is that we are we have had a number of cuts over the last year, and then this year we have a proposal of a 10% what's called increase the salary savings from 5% to 10%. The way that we are budgeted, when you get a position, you get 95% of the money because it's assumed that your recruitment and people leaving, that you only use 95% of your money on each position. Well, the governor has put in an executive order that says, no, we'll make it 10%. That means that we have to maintain a 10% vacancy rate to be able to do that. And our vacancy rate is about 7% right now. So we're short. I can't remember.
Usually run about 2%.
So you're running about 2%. So that's that means that for anyone that leaves, until this gets straightened out, until you get above that 10%, they're not going to be ability to backfill that because we do not. Our commitment at State Board is that we do not want to go into a layoff mode. And if we can't maintain that 10%, we will be in a position of having to lay people off later on in the year. And that's just not something that we want to be doing to our employees. So it's not good news, but that's the reason it's there.
Mr. Chair, for members of the public that might be listening, particularly in some organizations, many times, looking at Mr. Myers, many times I have heard you say that we need to put more people there, and you can understand the angst that we have as a group to get things done. And it's, I don't know what we do, but at one point you gave us some numbers that projected that the Navarro would be taking care of someplace in the 22nd century, and this is the. I don't know what we do, but I know that this is the problem we have, and it's been going on now for years, and this is just the culmination of it.
I think we need to adopt a no crybaby attitude, and just we need to figure out how to do business differently. We need to partner better with people than we have in the past, and I think there's a willingness to partner in a way that there hasn't been before because everybody's kind of in the same boat, I think it's. It isn't foreseeable that we will be increasing or even going flat for a while yet. And I think we just need to buckle up and be brave.
Thank you. Well, let's combine 11 and 12. Do we have any requests for future agenda items or other items?